Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
Shout Even Shy, singing the word you cannot say. I'm running down a rainstorm, trying to run away, watching broken promises and the words you cannot say. Grows on you. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend to be somebody I'm not. It's Saturday, Saturday. We'll be talking about magic. Where'd the magic go? Where's the miracles? With me tonight, AP Taylor from Down Under, from Australia. How are you, AP?
Hey, good, thanks, Haddock. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm recovering from too much sun still.
Well, that's the worst things.
Yeah, and also with us, my little sister, my best friend, leader of the pack, Miss Debbie Lee. Hi, Deb.
Hey, hey, and that little beautiful song was written by Jay Hatter. Just saying.
Yeah, Shout Even Shy sings it, plays the music. Yeah, tonight, we're going to ask the question for the prompt. Where's the magic? Why are there no more miracles? Where are the legends? Where's the good guys? All the negative energy around these days. The studio. Yeah. There's a legend of Excalibur, and I can't remember exactly how that goes in the last miracle. I don't know, it's an interesting topic. We'll be reading some poems written to that subject. I don't know, how did you find it easy to write to AP?
Well, yeah, I did actually, because I sort of have a view about this one, Hatter, you know, and that is that, you know, go figure, but miracles and magic actually take some time, yeah? It doesn't sort of, you don't just sort of go whoompah and there's magic. It's sort of got to learn it and got to bring it all together and do it the right way, yeah? And it takes substantially more than 256 characters, and anything that takes more than 256 characters in this life at the minute seems to be taking too long. So that's my view.
Yeah, it's a good question. Our history is just filled with miracles and legends and stories of things that fairy tales and folklore are full of, are created. Yeah,
How did you find
like
it?
Like I said,
how did you find writing this one?
Oh, I found it fairly easy. Fairly easy. I had a couple different ideas. We'll see how it goes when I read it. I'm going with no final edits. I tend to destroy my work if I do too much editing. So we'll see how that goes. Deborah, were you able to write to the?
Well, I didn't write because I had a poem that contradicts the miracle thing or magic, whatever. So I went digging for that because it had to do with bees. So I figured it would be something that. Plus, I wanted to comment, like, just sitting there in the room right now, as far as the miracles don't happen anymore, I think that there's two walking, talking contradictions just in that studio right now that miraculously are still sitting there having fun and writing poetry, but I think that's a pretty major miracle, but that's just me.
I'm not in the studio at the moment.
Oh,
are we talking to
the employee? You get the point.
Well, I can be there.
You always find a way to wiggle out of it, don't you, Adam? You always do. Every time. Just reverse quietly.
I was busy with my intro. Busy with the intro.
Ah, it's in the intro then, Adam. Sorry.
Yeah,
intro
I think
away.
I still have to post them. Yeah. So let me ask you, Mr. A.P. Taylor and Deborah Lee, what would be the last miracle recorded in history?
What about landing on the moon, Ada?
Coming home safely, yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I reckon. Or even Apollo 13 when, you know, it just the bloody spacecraft blew up and put it all back together out in space and made their way back in one piece. I thought that's as close to a miracle as you'd want.
Yeah. With some duct tape and a cardboard box.
That's it. Yep. They set the pilot who didn't go up there, sat down everything on the floor that was in the capsule, and then they came up with a plan, which is amazing stuff.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think the thing is, you have to decide what a miracle is, because like, does it have to be some statue bleeding bloody tears? No, I don't think so.
No.
You see things all the time. One person might not think it's miraculous, but like, for example, one time my daughter was on the sliding board, and she was at the very top. And once she got to the top, I ran to the bottom to catch her, but she went over the side. And I don't know how, but I somehow managed to get from the bottom of the slide to her with one arm, catch her in the air, and that's pretty miraculous, because I don't consider myself an overly strong, physically strong person to catch a flying child in the air. So miracles are everywhere.
Yeah, we all know a mother can lift a car off their kid.
This is true.
That's pretty much documented, yeah.
Well, that's pretty damn miraculous in my book, just saying.
On topic. I am on topic this week with my poem. Can I go now?
Sure. Get started.
I am on topic. It doesn't happen very often. This is hidden by me, and it goes a little bit like this. Found lying by a forest away from harm, or in a locked room near a stray lass, we go seeking soak and disarm to win on tables at Vegas. The twinkle off a new mother's wet eye, consult playbook move, see game. We know when it flies on by, you'll struggle to retain. And maybe it is out adventuring beyond, while instead we are trailing set track. As once the long will abscond, unless a way to get back. Or turn around and find all the way long, been close as the sand on the lee tide. Has that spark been all along, hiding, forgotten inside? End poem.
Yeah. Consult playbook, move, see game. Yeah. Or turn around and find all the way long, close to the sand of the tide. So it's always there. You just don't, either you can see it or you can't, right?
Correct. Correct.
That was always
the people that know how to live their life are usually the happiest, are the ones that can see the miracles. They can see every day is a miracle. And if you think about it, through the eons of time that we know now exists, which is we can try to understand that the time thing, but we can't. Our minds just can't grasp the vastness of the universe, or the time period that it gives us. And we sort of get screwed in the deal. We live 70, 80 years old, maybe, out of eons and eons of time. Too much. Too much. I think it's the spiritualness that we're taught when we're young. I think our generation, my generation, still was able to be taught that. I think it's being.
Yeah.
It's forgetting.
Yeah.
Well, it's the void that it's creating. The lack of spiritualness in our growing up, our generations behind us. It's. The void that it creates fills with the demons man has wrote about for since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I'm an optimist. I still think it's there, and I still think it's there in kids because I see it in my kids, you know, I think I'll give you a great example. Yeah, my middle kid got depression, clinical depression, in his final year of school. And he was on suicide watch and the whole lot while we got him onto drugs that stabilized his mood. And he, you know, we were looking at that and saying, well, do we really, can he keep on going with the year, or should he just stop and start again? Anyway, he worked like a bloody Trojan and actually did an incredible job and got, I think, 4 subject prizes out of the 6 that he was studying. So in other words, he got top of the class for 4 of the 6, despite the fact he lost 12 weeks of the year. Now, for me at the time, that was just a ridiculous miracle, to be honest, that A, he was alive and happy, much less that he was actually going well at school. So, you know, I think to your point, I think there are miracles out there. We just need to work out what those are sometimes.
Yeah, that terrible accident I was in when I was young, there were 8.
Yes.
8 miracles, one after the other, which the first on-scene CHP officer to the ambulance driver, paramedic, and the ER nurse all came up to visit me with the ball, said, well, I don't usually do this, but yeah. So, and being an optimist is a good thing. It balances out the universe. You got to have optimists, but there is ongoing struggle between good and evil. At some time periods of time, evil's winning a little bit. Some other times, good is. What would you say it is right now?
I think it's alive differently in different people, is what I was saying, Patter. I guess, you know, I think.
Yeah.
If the miracle's anywhere, it's within ourselves and around us, and we just have to look for them. That's what I was saying, really.
Yeah. Now, if you, in search of how to live a happy life, find the optimists and keep them around. The negative, you got to let go. You just got to let it go.
I think it helps, Hatter, and I think it has been shown that people who have a optimistic headset usually outlive those that don't. So, you know, it's not just a nice thing to be around. You actually have more of it, you know. So, anyway. Deb, what did you think of my little piece? It wasn't very long, but 4 stanzas, but it wasn't.
No, I think it was spot on to the conversation we had right before you put it on the board. The same thing I was saying. For one, your title's perfect, because where is it? It's hidden, because it might as well be. Everybody's so busy looking down at their cell phone or whatever the case may be. If you're not looking, you're not going to see anything. And if, like I said, then if you're looking for a statue to bleed some bloody tears for you, you're looking at the wrong things, in my opinion. And I like the examples that you used in here, like the twinkle in the mom's eye and stuff like that. I think that it made a lot of good points to the fact that you got to be looking. You got to see it. It's a great share.
Yeah, that's a good point about paying attention. Say Jesus might have already come back, and nobody paid attention. Nobody saw him walking on water. What they did is he couldn't prove who he was.
Because if they saw him, they would have taken a selfie with him, or at least taped it and posted it on Twitter or something. So
they
got to look.
Exactly right.
That's right. Now,
but I don't know. You're driving down the street and it just finishes up raining as the sun comes out and this mega rainbow lights up the sky in front of you. That's pretty beautifully miraculous. So I don't know. Depends on your headset.
Yeah.
Mindset, yes, I should say.
And how long would that stay with you? A miracle would stay with you a lifetime. So to appreciate something, you would really truly need to take it as a miracle.
Like
it works both ways.
Caterpillar climbing into a little tiny shred or threaded nest and then popping out as a butterfly. That's miraculous.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I remember struggling with sort of this topic before. The poem that I wrote 7 years ago, I was wanting to hit the miracles and magic, and so I wanted to include the line in the kingdom of the last crystal ball. Like there's only one crystal ball left, and that was it. And they go in search of it. This piece is called The Blackwater Witch, and it goes like this. They say he died before his time in the kingdom of the last crystal ball. The prophet of song, rhythm, and rhyme died at the foot of Blackwater Falls. Written it was that upon his death an imprisoned curse would lift the spells of the dark and ancient one, the freedom of the Blackwater Witch. She swore to burn the kingdom down in prison for 100 years, to curse all those that write in rhyme the killing of the poet's fears. Fear the dusk as she flies free, accompanied by those she's with, killing writers of song and verse, the curse of the Blackwater Witch. Beware she flies free tonight, looking for poets to die. She will hunt and feed when the moon is lost from the dark of the Blackwater sky. So it's a little on the crystal ball thing.
It is on the crystal ball thing. It is. Now, I had a... Oh, we have to welcome somebody into the studio because Deb's just welcomed them in. Hello, 440.
It just might be his nemesis.
I think it might be.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank
playing
you.
With magic.
Good. Did you hear Hatter talking about water that was black with witches upon it?
I did, and it makes me feel sorry for the fact that I rhyme, because I know I have to watch out for this Blackwater Witch. She seemed to have something against rhyming.
No. What he didn't tell you is that there's a Whitewater Witch that goes after those who don't.
Yeah.
So that's how optimistic in the world. Yeah. Blackwater Witch for rhymers, Whitewater Witch for not. Anyway, I'm just saying.
So, Steve, did you bring a piece?
Yes, sir, I did.
Excellent.
You
want
to go ahead and post it?
I'm grabbing it. I'll have it there in just a second.
Okay.
Don't even let it say how good that was, Hatter. Jeez. That was like creepy.
Yeah.
I remember that one because you had Sweet read it for you last time, and she did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
But it's still an awesome poll. And Stephen, yours is on there.
And before she goes ahead, I was going to say, Jay, that Hatter just mentioned the big competition, the winter competition, and we should say that our wonderful board member and co-host Sweet got in the medals for that competition, which is fantastic. So well done, Sweet.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah,
congratulations.
Good job,
Sweet.
Hey, I told her when she read it that it was winner chicken dinner. I even wrote it down.
Well, the poet laureate agreed, and she's got a shiny green honorable mention on her. So kudos to our Sweet.
Exactly. Now, Stephen, we are in your hands.
All right. Yeah, I went with the prompt. Where is the magic gone? And you know, I think I wonder that almost every holiday. So I call this. I wrote this around Easter. But I call this PC Killed the Family. A day set for family, a day to feast, to see those cousins you see the least. Back in the 40s to early 90s, the time that all hard work would cease. Living room filled, no empty seat, table laden heavy with holiday eats, grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunts, this day of kinship that can't be beat. But familiar values flew out the door, political correctness to be abhorred. No hopping Easter bunny, no jolly Santa Claus. It's all bought at the corner store. Corporations say it's just another day, Some of them don't even give extra instant gratification and need it now, as the working family has no voice to say. So when you go shopping on the holidays, grab your olives, rolls, or cut fruit trays. Apologize to those at work, but remember, they wouldn't have to be there if you weren't. End poem.
Yeah. Hail retail.
Well, hail the folks that are working in retail when it's the time that everybody else is on holiday.
Yeah, Steve's always got a Confucius type of angle, some moral, probably an Andorian thing.
Probably.
Well, you know, when I started my wonderful career in retail back when I was 16 years old, the stores actually did close on Sundays, and they closed on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden now they're all open for them instead because. And the people that shop there will say, oh, I'm so sorry you have to work today. And it's like, well, you know what? If you weren't shopping, I wouldn't have to be here.
Yeah.
So.
back when there were things still holy, you know. Held holy. Deborah, what'd you think?
I think it came out awesome, and I totally get the point, because, like, quite often my kids get stuck working on the holidays, and although it's time and a half or double time, whatever it is, it's still, if people weren't out there shopping, instead of being with their family on the couple of times a year that it's customary to do so, they wouldn't be stuck at work, so... It's your fault that you're there. I like the bit of attitude there. I think you've discussed this once before with that same attitude, and you did it quite well. So I think it's an awesome share, and you better watch out because it rhymes. I mean, especially going after that poem Hatter just read. Just saying.
I know. I was a little weary.
But I've said this before. The perfect example is Donovan's intro to his song Aquarius. He's gathering. He's like telling the legend, and he gets to the part, the ladder of. So he gathered. Does the scientist, the mathematician, and they always say the poet. So the poet. Was the entertainment?
Yeah.
They were the YouTube. They were the YouTube of the day.
Yeah,
they were. Had a.
Yeah, there's more to it.
They were. It's just that now we've got YouTube.
Yeah. and holiday pay.
And they're better than most poets, unfortunately. You know, I have to say. Now, I was going to say that I thought that was a really cool piece, and that I completely agree with Stephen that the retail stuff has gone over the top compared to 20, 25 years ago. I don't think we ever missed not being able to go and do retail on a couple of days or a day and a half a week, but it seems that now we do, Stephen, and it's something's got missed in the wider scheme of things. Now, well, I'm just going to put on the condo piece next, if that's okay, because we are up to part four, Ida part five, of the Sleep Again, the Sleeping Audio Drama by We Are All Gonzo. So I was going to put that...
Hold on a half a second, though. Stephen, do you have to go? Did you want to pitch your shows before you leave, or are you going to stay and listen?
I'll hang out for Gonzo's.
Sorry, AP.
No, please. Thanks, good. Okay, we're going to play it now, Hatter. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Sleepy crept carefully, evading the scattered shards, peeping your head around the corner, checking for lookouts or guards.
Down the stairs with haste and stealth, as deftly as the seas move shells, she stopped abrupt in shock and awe.
No way, they're this stupid.
But indeed, a dragon was what she saw.
Toes could not have tipped with a lesser click as her slick retreat and crafty feet worked like sweet arithmetic.
Hey, sleeping!
Back behind the stone-broken pillar, her stomach curdling, her next, she'd be dinner.
I'm just messing with you.
This dragon sleeps and sleeps. It's so depressed and so boring.
Glittering light manifested in bright luminescent refracted, leaving Sleepy distracted.
Pull this pin, then run.
The pin slid and the shackle unclipped.
Running time!
Propelled by functioning quads and sheer terror, she jettisoned out of the immediate area. Round the corner, down the hall, past the three bears, who were perplexed by what they saw. The three bears poked their head out to spy a peek before smoke and fire charred each evenly. The dragon's patience never slackened, nor became complacent while the hallways blackened, continuing to chase the original game, becoming maddened with each failed flame. Sleepy hit a dead end, smacking at the brittle bricks when she turned around and found the dragon was closer than comfort would permit. With no other options left in her mind, she did the polite thing and apologized.
But I'm the one that set you free. Oh, please, please don't eat me.
The dragon scoffed and huffed, lifting itself up into the air, taking flight, crashing through the skylight and flying deep into the night. Sleepy was relieved, but realized there wasn't time since she would have to find Goldie and squeeze the life out of her just as demand payment for their crimes.
Okay, where the hell am I now?
Goldie wrapped her luscious locks around Sleepy's throat and began to gloat.
I've been waiting a long time, you know.
Who knew hair was so efficient at stopping air from entering one's lungs and sapping strength from the knees? Sleepy fought and crawled and dragged and clawed and managed to get Goldie off her feet. As Goldie rose, she froze a sad pose as she saw what was laid bare of the three protective bears.
I'm done playing babysitter. You're gonna die!
With a quick maneuver, once again, Goldie laced her strands of hair around Sleepy's neck and hand.
You know, if you keep chewing on your hair, you're gonna get a furball.
The mirror's sarcasm was not appreciated, but a mere stare at the table was fixated. Sleepy turned and spotted three bowls, grabbing one, but finding it cold, the second lukewarm, no menacing harm, but the third piping hot with the just right one all along. Burning a layer of skin on over half of her palm, Sleepy removed Goldie's grin and her chin with the liquid napalm. Even as Goldie screamed, a tear never fell from her eye, for the liquid seal ducked shut and she could no longer cry. Spastically, she thrashed and crashed along the shelves before unwittingly heading for a window. Mira unlocked the seventh-tier glass encasement and Goldie soared through, splattering on a garden bank.
What did you do then?
I told you, dear girl, I have what you want, and if you play along, you just might have it all.
Sleepy unlocked the door Jason, headed out through the castle's basement, passing a case in her haste, removing a blade for just in case, unaware her entertainment for the mirror, though with pleasure sadistically queer, had a deeper story than vengeance for her tragic fallen engagement.
So, evil stepmother, husband and other relative brutally murdered on your wedding day, coma for 5 years.
What?
Sleepy stopped in her tracks, taken aback by this final fact.
I've been asleep for 5 years? 5 years. Son of a...
And
ends with the fight of the bumblebee.
Cut four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I love the mirror. Can I just say I love the mirror? Am I allowed to do that? That we've got a very verbose, sarcastic,
and insightful mirror. And I like it a lot, by the way.
I agree.
Something about the mirror. It just does it for me. And the internal rhyme. Did you love the internal rhyme, Hatter? I love the internal rhyme. There's each long line had an internal rhyme. It's really cool.
I have to, this is like vicious, especially the part about the liquid napalm. I would not just take away your grin. I'm going to melt off your chin in the napalm. That part was like, and the worst thing, not the worst thing, but just a little bit before that, I was actually laughing when Goldie yells out, "I'm done playing babysitter. You're going to die." For one, that voice was cool. But for two, it made me think,
yes.
There's been quite a few times where someone's driven me crazy in the chat room, so I put on not the babysitter, but hey, I've never told them they were going to die, so I'm one step ahead of Goldie here. But no,
well,
these are
not?
So brilliant. the mirror continues on, too, with So Evil Stepmother, Husband and Other Relatives Brutally Murdered on Your Wedding Day, Coma for 5 years, what? This is really brilliant. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. It speaks on a whole heap of levels, doesn't it? So it's brilliantly written, but I love the production and I love wonderful. Hatter, it's back to you.
Yeah, you know, this is the next level of poet evolution is the performances. Poetic performance. I'm wondering, who's doing the voices for him? Are those his kids, or...?
I think they are his children.
He's got his whole family involved, Hatter.
So I'm impressed. He must have a lot of fun doing it. It's a lot of fun hearing.
Huge amount of work, but yeah, I agree. A lot of fun.
Definitely. And this is number four?
Yeah.
This is number four.
And
one.
He sent number five. It's on the board for next week, so we have that to look forward to. These are so fun. I mean, really fun. But,
yeah,
hey,
no, they're brilliant stuff.
Stephen, did you want to comment and tell us what's going on before you vote?
Yeah. First off, I definitely agree with AP. I like the mirror since he was introduced in the last part. Especially the last part when she trashes him and smashes him into a million pieces, and he says something like, "And now the mirror's gone." No, I'm still here. No, I'm still here. I like that how he keeps coming back. But yeah, the whole production of this thing, it's just fun. He's been bringing it to our mortuaries too, so I've been enjoying it. And to hear him again is just awesome. I'm just eating these up, is what I told him in my comment on this poem. I just think they're great. Let's see. Speaking of the mortuary, that is our next show. Monday, it's 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our May True Crime edition, and Kay and I kept it local one more time. And we're going to go with Cleveland mobster Danny Green. He's the guy who made Cleveland the bomb capital of the world in 1976 when more than 30 car bombs went off in Cleveland, Ohio in that year.
Wow.
We have the actual biography of him to check out if you wanted to. And they also made a movie called Kill the Irishman about him, and we have quotes from that movie as well to write to. And that's 7:30 p.m. on Monday.
Beautiful.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome. Cleveland history. Wow.
Some scary people there in Ohio. And you have people criticize Jersey. Damn.
Yeah, it's true, huh?
So, Hatter, we've probably got a chance for Deb to read her poem before she has to disappear, I think.
Sure.
Deb?
Yeah, Deb. Yep. Thanks, Stephen.
Now, for Deb.
Ready.
It's up on the board, Deb.
Okay, thank you, and I see you out there, Frank. Hello. Okay, Hatter, like I said, this one I brought for the bees. It's called Blooming Magic Mushrooms for the Honeybees. Here we go. Beekeepers lose honeycombs and hives, workers and queens that cannot thrive. Parasitic is poison crippled bees' wings, leaving mangled bodies and cobweb strings. Then abandoning hives and the honey, Mother Earth is not finding it funny. Hives spread and pollutions kill, but are mushroom clusters the magic pill? To the parasites on fungi and mites on the scene, as scientists seek the honeybee's vaccine. By smoking fungus and walking through bees, sip the dew from the elixir we brew. Can the fungi trigger cures for you too? Ed Palm. And if you scroll into the author's notes and take a look, like the one person has a really big one in his hand, but there's a video at the bottom if you get a chance to check it out. But the trees have the solution to help us save the bees, and a lot of beekeepers have started practicing it, and it's making a difference. One little step at a time, but it's making a difference. So I thought that was great news and pretty magical, and I thought it would be a good one to share.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is excellent. Yeah, one other thing that people don't realize, you have to choose what time of year that you use an insecticide on your flowers or your plants, being that the bee will come try to pollinate and will also die along with any other pest that you are trying to get rid of. So anytime there are blooms and blossoms, do not use an insecticide on your plants. Find another way. Interesting, Deb. Psilocybin. That's what I use for the psychedelic mushroom champagne.
Different kind of smoking. You know how they smoke the hives, so they can. Anyway, if they just do one simple change and use these mushrooms to smoke the bees, rather than whatever they are using currently, it makes a big difference for the bees and for all of us, because without the bees, we're toast.
That's true. That's true. Save the bee.
All right, gentlemen, you two in-house miracles, I got to go. It was fun. There's a couple other recordings in the studio, and I will talk to you all soon. Love and respect.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
All right. Drive safe.
Good night, Deb. I'm going to hit the road too, guys. Take care.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Stephen.
Okay. Cheers.
There you go. Just me and you, Hatter. I was going to say, Hatter, that Australia does okay on beehives. I know the US has got 2.5 million hives, of bees, down from 6 million in the 1940s. Australia's got 700,000. So we're not doing too badly. We've got a few here and there, plus 10 local indigenous bees. So there you go. Anyway, now, Hatter, we should get your you put a poem up on the board. Did you want to read that one?
We can go ahead.
It was on
finish.
Top of it. Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah, it's the one I wrote. It's the one I wrote for tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got Titus's poem and Frank's poem to go. Well, we've got SoundClouds for both. Do those SoundClouds first, and then have yours to finish.
Yeah, you better do. Yeah, let's do it that way, because I better check mine out, make sure that it's.
Okay, well, that gives you to actually have a look at it too. So let me go and grab. We'll do Titus's poem first, because it's actually about you, Hatter. You realize that?
Yeah, cool. So what?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
It's about you. The Titus poem is about you.
It is.
Yeah?
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. Well, it's about you, so you should listen. And so I've got it up on the board now, and I'm now going to play it. Here we go.
Okay.
Earth Angel, Jay Hatter, Zadkiel, Angel of Mercy, Where Good Deed Come, a dedication to Jay Hatter, entrepreneur for a team of voices, shepherding their souls, he is one of a kind. The birth of angels. Jointly we're bedazzled. An array of voices do somehow travel to this hodge. Hatches the immigration of self-radicals, where survival methods admonish among us there so lost yet having found what typifies bliss. This utopia tapering to that point of dedication. The free will welcomes such a thought towards equilibrium. Within this strength in number to remain stalwart, eagerly will follow the order that constellations keep. It's without change, remotely incandescent. Labeling you shall find signs that shall encumber. Obvious portrayal shall be aware if Catalpha can stay among them more so, notwithstanding common fact, how faint memories correspond to wane. Emissaries on behalf of humankind does assure the faith of its people. Omissions you will find far out as we are to judge, those on earth also from a distance. Voices can be heard, when who said they were far off? Abhorrent claims are purely from spirit, an irrepressible drive forward.
There you go, Hannah.
When he wrote this. I remember when he wrote this.
From
most impressive. Yeah. He did such a good job.
Oh, no, brilliantly written. Yeah, absolutely, and on point. Particularly like the opening that a dedication entrepreneur for a team of voices shepherding their souls. There you go. Yes, that's an intriguing job description.
Mm. Yeah, that. Very nice. Very nice of him. He's a great writer.
He is.
Definitely a wizard of words. And
yes.
He figures out how to put the puzzle together in ways that like this. Thank you, Titus. I got this tucked away somewhere, but yeah. Thank you.
Well, you should write him a, you should actually write him a note, Hannah. He was thinking that you didn't like it because you hadn't written him a note.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was just reading the comment. Yep. Yep. So.
Well, I apologize for that.
I think you are.
And I will get one.
I think you are in the. I think you are in the comment. Yes. So we'll keep you to that. Now, I am going to grab the other piece, Hatter, that we have on the board, which is from Poetic Picasso, from Frank, and I'm going to play that, and then we are going to finish with your piece. So, bear with me.
Okay.
That Frank piece is now on the board, and if I can just clear this bit here, I should be able to play his piece now. Here we go.
If I die today, would the world even shed a tear? Would I be remembered as only a fond memory? I could follow the winds of death with my spirit, will remain on this earth a ghost to my last breath. I want to fly above the clouds, reach the emergent heavens, and touch again the texture of your tender face I miss. Sing with the angel songs of the lyrical hymns of love. Walk amongst the garden of serenity, hand to hand. I can sense your presence as I walk through the valley, seeing the beauty of your eyes that sparkle with your halo. You caress me softly with the wings of your precious purity, while I sleep within the gentle comfort of your arms forever. I could see amidst the clouds the colour of your reflection as it casts a celestial image upon the ocean of turquoise. And I listen then closely to the swashing echo of the waves, hoping to hear the dulcet tones of your voice in the morning. I stand upon the cliff of the mountain calling out your name, yearning to see the miraculous glimpse of your absolute divinity. As you ride like a chariot through the westerly winds blowing, and from afar your dark shadow shines bright over the lighthouse. I want to follow your light into the interminable ripples of time and be engulfed by the waves that submerge me gradually into the unknown depth of its inexplicable mystery and fate, a magical place where I know in the end I can find you always, a place beyond the twinkling stars and the nightly moonlight where death will take me to the gates of the special garden when the white doves will fly over the rays of the rainbow and I shall see the angels as my body fades into the mist. Oh, and I shall see the angels as my body fades into the mist. In the poem.
There we go, Hannah. And again, a very well produced piece it was too. Beautifully spoken, and I thought the words were quite lovely, Hannah. I don't know what you thought, but I thought it was a really nice piece.
Yeah, it's the great mystery of our of the human, what we call the human experience, is what happens to us after.
Yes.
Yeah, Frank always brings it. His way of using the English language the way he does is, I'm in awe every time I. It's like the caliber of poets like Frank, and Titus is another one. Just so well.
Yeah.
One day I hope to grow up and write like them.
Well, you know, we all write differently. Howdy, you might find yourself writing bush poetry when you come to Australia. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been searching for my whole life, is Australia.
Yeah, really. Well, it's out there, Howdy. We'll just give it a few months for me to repair and you to repair, and then we'll get ourselves sorted. So, you know, it'll not far away.
Yeah, after we find the cache of gold.
Well, you know, we'll go out hunting for nuggets, Ada. Like the miners.
They didn't have the technology we have. So
we've got it over.
So we invited the thought, where the miracles, what happened to the magic, and it's found within all of us. It's found within all of us. You just got to be able to recognize it and appreciate it, and don't forget it. It's like what these last couple poems have hit. If you forget it, it fades away to be forgotten.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Thank you to Frank. Yeah.
Thank you to Frank for saying that.
Thanks, Frank.
But you're right. And that's exactly what he said. There's love within all of us. And he spoke about that, you know, very passionately and very eloquently. So now, Hannah, you had a poem that you actually wrote for the show.
Yes, I did.
And
we're going
am putting it back up on the board.
Okay. You know, when you see it.
Now, are you afraid to read it, or did you want me to read it for you?
Yeah, go ahead, AP. Please do.
You happy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, it's up on the board, and I will read it. This is Magic. Catch it. And it goes a little bit like this. Tales of power now seen before. Witches and warlocks' miracles aren't store-bought, silenced in the last crystal ball. Wizards begone, something went wrong. I cannot see it at all. Never again, nothing saves them. The magic is gone this day. Where are the good guys? I'd like to ask why. I'd like to hear what he has to say. The colours are few, the wind has changed, no rainbows grow in the pouring rain. Gold is recessed back to where it came. Nothing flies because it thinks it can. The dawn arrives with no smoke in the city, and the dragons are now not believed. What happened to the fairies that filled the trees, or the griffins, the giants that rode the bees? Where is the magic that comes to our aid? Where are the miracles being displayed? End poem.
Yeah.
Where are the miracles being displayed? Well, and that's the thing, isn't it, Hatter? You know, if you're looking for a bloody great big rock with a sword in it, if you're looking for a dragon that, you know, happens to be coming down off a ridge somewhere, well, you know, outside of cinema, good luck with that. You know, there's a whole heap of bits and pieces of sort of magical stuff that, you know, seems to be a lot more obscure these days, Hannah. So I guess you have to choose your magic. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that there is still gold, can still find it. Dawn does still arrive. It doesn't arrive with dragons. It's the best way I can put it.
Well, that'll be chapter one. Hatter goes to Australia. The wizard arrives.
Hatter goes to Australia and searches for gold, and I don't know, you might hear dragons. I don't know. You do, that's great. But, you know, closest I've got to a dragon I can think of is my Audi that fires down the road. But apart from that, we're short a couple of dragons.
Yeah. What a weird set of circumstances when we were first planning.
Well, I think just the last couple of years had a highly unusual, for want of a better word. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we haven't had this form of disruption to civil society since 1918, 19. You know, it's 100 years since we've had this form of disruption around the world that's gone on. And it has significantly and severely affected air travel, and it's still recovering, to be honest.
Changed the way we live. Changed the way we live.
It did. And I suspect it has changed you know, we're going to fly less. Mind you, I was on a plane back from Sydney Thursday night, Hatter, and there was not one spare seat. So there are still people flying, for sure. It's just maybe we're not flying quite as much as we used to. That's all.
Yeah. So AP Taylor, you have to pick a subject for next week.
I do. And the subject is, oh, hold on. I'm in charge of this, Hatter, so I can do this. Hold on, we've got a caller. Hello and welcome 603 to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're well. Yes. I made the mistake of thinking that you were somebody else.
I have my voice back.
I know. I can hear.
You sound like Sky,
which is good. Yeah?
It was rough there. I still can't laugh. I have a hard time laughing. I go into coughing fits easy, but I'm feeling a lot better.
That's good
because I go back to work Monday, so.
You sound better. You do sound better.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I've been quite miserable, so thank you.
Now. Well, no, but you sound like your normal Sky self. You probably don't feel like it, but you sound like it, Sky.
Oh, yeah, I feel really good. It's the best day. I feel really good. I mean, I don't feel perfect, but I feel good.
No, but you feel somewhat human.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah?
Sky.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's
the Sky. Guys, where's all the magic? Where'd all the magic go?
I stole it. I live. You know what the thing is that I read a lot. I'm sure you know, and I still love to read young readers. I still love young readers books, and because I think, and I always say, well, it's okay that I read so many young readers books because I like to write in that genre. So a writer should always read the genre that they like to write in as well. So I always kind of put that in there just to kind of tell people that it's okay. But I really love fantasy. So, you know, I think sometimes I have to be pulled out of that. So I'm hoarding it. I'm hoarding the magic.
You have it.
Try to give it out to me. Yeah, I have it all.
Well, did you bring a piece to read?
I did. I can't stay too long, guys, but I did bring a piece. Whenever you're ready, I will read it to you.
But please,
Did it get posted?
I posted it, but I can put it down. Yeah, I'll put it down. This is actually a piece. It's a dedication piece. Yeah. It was a Monday night prompt. It was from my brother, and I had. As most people, we have all have our difficulties in life, kind of growing up. And my brother and I, we were very close. We didn't always live together. I didn't always live with my birth mother, but he was always, regardless of that, he was always my best friend, and always made really bad situations better and brighter by just the way he is. So here's a little bit of that. So this is called Of Legend, of Legos and Legends by Sky.com. You found treasure neath the sandy shores of lava pits, grains that chirped and buried roots of beanstalk ladders, descent after long talks with monkeys perched on bars, days of discovered travel till pockets weighed with coin. You never were dismayed by the tail and teeth of turtle, the shelled coats and claws of crocodile and snarling wood, the first passage in the realms of a mystery underground. The Fantasia and Narnia built of Lego blocks and tea lights. And when we found ourselves barefooted on Arctic shores, naive to carnivorous snow, burying itself in youth's marrow, a place where the great red buffalo had all been hunted, and frosted star leaves began to wither, like pine drops in sky. You learn to speak such mirrored languages of ever after, tongues of prancing antelopes and the alabaster polar bear. You found our way across those chilly waters made of tears, and somehow filled them with tumbleweeds and jewel stems. You built a home out of Legos and legends of what might be, a castle that only lay under the surface playground gravel, grains of sand turned lava, secret passages of dream realm, the ones that lie awake long after they have faded to memory. End quote. Mr.
Chris. See, isn't that cute? I love the picking too.
Thank you.
You with your quote. That's really very, very sweet. But it's wonderful what you have as together if you play and imagine and do this together. You know, and you know, what you described there was there's so many different adventures of books, of things put together with Lego and of things put together with both of you, and it was just a beautiful piece. Right? It's really, really lovely.
Thank you, AP.
Yeah, always complete. Some great lines. When we found ourselves barefoot on the Arctic shores, sort of gotten away from together. You learn to speak such myriad languages of the ever afters. Misguised, and the metaphors for where she got all the magic.
Thank you. Yeah.
I like the never-ending story. I've said that before too.
It is. I haven't done it yet, but it's one of those things. I haven't done a show on it because it's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite fandoms,
yes.
And I've been putting it off because I'm like, but I love it. It's such a great book. And it's one of those books when you read it, you could see how. If we really wanted to, someone could stem from all those little bits of stories that were just kind of thrown in there because there was so much, so dense.
Yeah.
And it's surprising to me that no one or that he hasn't really expounded upon it and made it like an entire realm. Like you see everybody else going out into like different, you think of Tolkien, you know, this entire world created.
Yes.
That's really what this guy did in this one book. It's just never been expounded upon,
yes.
And it's not, amazing.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah,
yeah, just there. Now, Sky, have you got 3 minutes?
Yeah, I have 10% battery, so I think that's 3 minutes.
There you go.
Okay.
3 minutes, because I have for ages threatened you with reading my poem from years ago, which is from episode 4 of Star Wars.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I've never done
it.
I'm going to do it now.
So I'll
you ready?
Invite you.
Here we go.
When I do episode 4, I'll read it back. I'll invite you again to read it on my show.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited. Go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay. This is episode 4, a summary in 6 stanzas. And it goes like this. A screen of stars opposing black as blue words on an obtuse angle. Trumpets call to emotions rack. Star destroyer, a battle entangle. Our only hope, a droid into pod towards planet Tatooine is thrown. An old hermit by his hand with nod blasts his heat, turns lives to bone. past a bar and a furry first mate, inside Falcon our heroes depart, with Chess and their forces sate upon this satellite trooper's dart. Plan secured, a princess freed, lightsabers of orange and blue reappear at sheep, the plan's lead, to see three plea no a battle do. Artu knew, the Munalium trace, their wings they unfold left few. Out they speed towards the grace of a moon which resolves brew. Down torpedoes use the force, slip blows up the whole thing to a coda, leaving plenty for Jedi and Jedi and source, still not seen ultimate star. Yoda. In
pop. This is excellent. I really love it. Brilliant. You know, I loved the... where was there so many things? This was so clever. To see 3P, no. Battlefield.
Yes!
Battle
yes!
I
yes,
thought that was... There were so many things, but that one has to take the cake for me. When that came up, I'm like, oh, this guy is so clever. I love the way you entangled it, and, of course, how you bring out the... The trumpet call to motion wreck Star Destroyer. And then, of course, bringing in the Only Hope and name-dropping things like Tatooine. I really love this. Oh, it's jumping. Hold on, because there was something I wanted to say. And how you speak of, you know, the old hermit. You know, I could just hear, you know, McGregor, hello there. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, not McGregor, that other one, that former one. But of course, yeah. And then of course you bring in the Millennium Falcon a little bit in there, and as their wings unfold, but you don't say it that way. You just like tuck it in like little Easter eggs and little secrets, and make it part of the piece, and makes it flow well to the story. But you're also taking out, and you're like, oh, this and that's a little shout out, and that's a little shout out too, which I really always enjoy, Steven has shown me this robot chicken spoof on when they blow up the Death Star. So by the end, all I could think of was like this. I'm just a bunch of teenagers blowing it up. So I don't know. I just had that in my mind when I was thinking about the Death Star blowing up. I mean, what a shot, huh? Excellent piece.
Yes.
I would find doing a fandom tribute piece really hard to stay within those confines of lines. Like, it's hard to do, especially I find when I do, like, fandom pieces like that, I do, like, that trailing, like, and it's the only way I can break up the lines, because I'm like, I don't want to do all that work with fitting it in, because you have to be so particular in your verbiage at that point that you're tucking it in so neatly, and I know it sounds like such a nonchalant thing, but it isn't. I realize how much work goes into it, and saying, "Oh no, this word isn't the perfect one. I got to take that out and find another one." And kudos to you. Yeah, excellent.
Thank you. I thought I had to do it, particularly for the line that you picked up, which I'm very grateful for. To see three, please know a battle. I love that line, Hatter.
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
It was clever.
It is.
I'm gonna bring this when I do episode 4. I just did Revenge of the Sith today. So I did this. I went into like almost 500 word count poem about General Grievous.
Oh my god! Wow.
Really got consumed in. Yeah, I was really getting into Grievous's plight and backstory. And I don't always write for my own shows, but yeah, his backstory was so cool, and so I did that, and so we have a couple more shows, and then because I'm doing the TV shows, so it'll be a couple more until I do episode 4.
Yes.
So when I do, I'm gonna grab you. Like, we need to bring this.
I will return.
I mean, you can bring this to any time, really, if you want. As long as it's Star Wars, I don't even really care what you bring when you bring it.
No. It's definitely Star Wars. Let me tell you, there's a lot of, you know, time-consuming Star Wars stuff went into that. So, anyway. So, Hatter,
Hatter. We need to close out and say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for participating that wrote for the show. Sky, thanks for calling in. Steven, thanks for calling. And Miss Deborah, it's never the same without her. Got it for most of the time. Thank you, AP. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Saturday night, spend it with you. And I was looking for a song to head out with.
And had you come up with one, Hatter?
Well, I'm scrolling. But it wasn't under the. It wasn't where I thought it was going to be. I see it's.
Oh. So what one were you looking for?
Would you play the Shout Even Shy again? Do you know where that is?
Okay. Hold on. We're gonna play the classic intro song as an outro song. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I will try and find where that is. Now, while we're doing that, we should say next week is T, Hatter. Next week is T. And we should say, are there any other shows that we wanted to talk about while we're still here? You don't have to.
It's I wanted to remind everybody it's Deb's birthday next week.
Ah, we should do something for that, Hatter. Okay. Note yourself.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's Tuesday.
Note yourself. We've got team singing Hatter's poem. And we'll go from there. Thanks, Hatter. We'll talk soon.
Actually, AP. I found a different song.
I've stopped. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got my finger on
going
the button,
with,
so you tell me where we're going now.
Going out and rambling on.
Thank
you for your sake. Thanks, dog.
Thank you.
Leaves are falling all around. Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged. Such a pleasant stay, but now it's time for me to go. The autumn moon lights my way, but now I smell the rain, and with it pain, and it's heading my way. Sometimes I grow so tired. Thank you.
years ago, in days of old, when magic filled the air. Just in the darkest depths of morning, I met a girl so fair. But got her at the evil wall, crept up and slipped away.
Led Zeppelin, Ramble On. Bobby Plant lyrics in the song were inspired by the work of J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings. Great song. Thank you, AP. Thank you, Sky.
Pleasure, Hatter. Have a good one, and we'll see you next week for tea.
Yep. Next word for tea. We'll be there. Yep.
Tea. Okay. Bye, everybody.